This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter, who's also a member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. He and I have talked energy many times, given Louisiana's strategic role in America's energy industry. We want to get his reaction to the news on Thursday that President Obama has ordered the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to be tapped to the tune of about 30 million barrels of oil. And apparently other nations around the world, more than two dozen others, have tapped their reserves as well as the United States and many other countries deal with much higher fuel prices than we're accustomed to. And, Senator, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Good to be with you.
Some say this could help, I guess, a little bit with more supply in the chain. Others say that given our consumption of about 20 million barrels a day, it might not do much. And others say that that reserve is for dire emergencies and this was not a smart move. How do you see it?
Well, two things. First of all, I agree that it's supposed to be the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to deal with real emergencies, strategic emergencies, not just high price at the pump. Secondly, I do applaud the Obama administration for basically discovering the supply and demand curve and admitting that supply, increasing supply matters and is important. I just wish they would bring that same spirit to increasing domestic production. Greg, as you said, they've released 30 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. However, at the same time, their policies, including in the Gulf, have cut down U.S. domestic production by 80 million barrels a year. So that's obviously way more than what they're releasing. And so they need to act on the same thought in terms of increasing supply by increasing domestic production, starting with reopening the Gulf.
When you talk about the type of action they are taking and the type of action you want them to take with respect to exploration in the Gulf, how much would that additional supply matter at the pump in and of itself? And how much would the fact that the markets and investors know that we are consciously trying to add to our supply make a difference?
Well, it would help price. I mean, just put it this way, Greg, if they're releasing 30 million barrels to try to stabilize prices, how much better would it be if they would make up that 80 million barrel difference that they created by cutting back on domestic production, including through the Gulf shutdown? That's obviously about 2.5 times what they're talking about today.
In terms of actions that would require more proactive steps by the administration, you and I talked a few weeks ago when the president, in one of his weekly YouTube addresses, said that he was committed to more exploration, and you said it would be a matter of weeks before we understood how serious he was about that. What have we learned so far?
It's a real mixed bag. He talked about some extension of leases, but as we talked about then, Greg, a lease without a permit is worthless. All it is a well to throw money in, not to produce anything out of. And the real issue in the Gulf is lack of permits, permit logjam, permitorium, de facto moratorium, whatever you want to call it. And that continues, and we need to change that in a fundamental way. And so lease extensions are nice, but lease extensions without permits are actually worthless.
Do you think if the legislation gets to his desk related to that, that he'd embrace it for either genuine or political reasons? We're tracking a debate that, of course, took place in the House this week about more access to energy up in Alaska in particular. Do you think that's likely to have some legs in the Senate and over to the White House?
Unfortunately, I think it's going to be difficult. And the fundamental difficulty is, in terms of this permit logjam, it's not very, very well designed to have a legislative solution. The big problem is the administration, the people manning, womaning the bureaucracy, the leaders in charge who aren't letting these permits through. That just is fundamentally not designed very well for a legislative solution. But certainly I'm working with others doing everything we can in Congress to use our leverage, push, try to change the situation.
We're talking with Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter, who, as I mentioned, is a member of the Environment and Public Works Committee. He's also on the Small Business Committee, banking, as well as armed services. Earlier on Thursday, Senator, we found out that it appears that these bipartisan debt talks have kind of broken down. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor has stepped out, as has one of your leaders, John Kyle, on the Senate side. Does this mean we're back to square one? Does this mean that we are going to be seeing the Republicans driving a harder bargain here? What does this read to you?
Well, I applaud what they did because they were at a dead end and they needed to shake things up well before August 2nd. Apparently, the president, through Vice President Biden, is absolutely demanding big, big tax increases as part of this deal. I think, along with every other Republican, that would be really counterproductive when we're in a horrible economy just trying to come out of the worst recession since the Great Depression. I think that would be really, really counterproductive in terms of jobs. So we'll see. But I think given that fundamental disagreement, given that dead end, Eric Cantor and others like John Kyle were right to step out and try to shake things up so we can get a positive deal.
If the Democrats are dead set on tax increases and Republicans are dead set against it, how do you resolve an impasse like that, not to mention other thorny issues like entitlements?
Well, something's got to give. I hope people listen to the American people, because I think the great majority of the American people understand that big tax increases in the middle of a horrible economy, just trying to get out of this serious, serious recession, is going to hurt growth, hurt jobs, hurt American productivity, not help.
Earlier this week, actually on Sunday, on Face the Nation, your Republican Senate leader, Mitch McConnell, drew a few raised eyebrows among Republicans when he said that it's very important to have a comprehensive agreement in order to have a long-term extension of the debt ceiling. He then said, if we can't get that, we'll do a short-term extension to create more time. And a lot of people saw that as kicking the can down the road, and maybe not a lot has changed. How did you read that, and how should the leadership approach this coming deadline?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what Mitch meant. I think a small deal, a short-term deal like that, is just kicking the can down the road. It would not be viewed positively by the markets, nor should it be. And so, that's certainly not my first choice. I'm sure it's not his first choice either. I think we need major spending and debt reform. This spending path we're on is completely unsustainable, completely out of control. That's what's got to give. And, you know, you have Democrats, like the Democratic chairman of the Budget Committee in the Senate, saying we need at least $4 trillion of change. $2.5 is small potatoes, doesn't do the job. The market needs to see at least $4 trillion. We need to think in those terms. I agree with that overall number.
Senator? Two critical issues, and we appreciate you, as always, for spending some time with us to discuss them.
Thanks very much, Greg.
Absolutely. Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter, member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Committee, as well as Banking, Armed Services. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.